tell us about how you've made successes at Cornerstone Academy dealing with the poverty issues and all the challenges that students face today.
Yeah, well, for me, it's all about keeping students at the center of the work. They are why we do what we do. And it's about doing the best job we can at meeting the individual needs of students, both not just cognitively, but socially and emotionally as well. And it's about meeting the needs of their families as best as we can through services we have in school and connecting with community-based organizations. So for us, it's about keeping students and families at the center of the work. And allowing that to drive what we do, and also creating a culture of, you know, learning as being a lifelong endeavor, learning as being fun, learning as being about engagement and about relationships. So we let that drive us, as opposed to allowing, you know, the top down sort of mandates drive the work that we do.
And that would include the wraparound services, kind of that whole child.
Correct. It's the whole, we're anchored in the whole child philosophy. So for us, you know, we're a small school, which is great. We have 250 students, 99% Black Latino, like you said, majority Title I, majority low income. I'm the only administrator in the building. I have a social worker and two guidance counselors who help to support the social and emotional component. Our students have leadership courses where they explicitly learn character skills and character development, where they go through a lot of self-analysis and community awareness. Our students have the traditional courses, humanities, mathematics, but we also have STEAM, which is project-based, and the arts component is included. They have computer courses where they learn coding and technology. So we try to be innovative in our curricular approach to give students the opportunity to have voice and choice in the curriculum while also engaging with the more traditional courses as well.
And where does standardized testing weigh in for you?
It's near the bottom, to be honest with you. I mean, we have students aren't standardized, so I don't believe in standardized testing, especially in alignment with the high-stakes nature and done annually the way we do it in New York State. Again, we focus on the individual child. So what are our students' individual strengths, weaknesses, and passions? And we align our in-house assessments to those strengths, weaknesses, and passions. And that helps us to better support students. And our performance on the state assessment, last year, we had the highest combined growth score average in New York City. Unfortunately, many kids come to us, quote unquote, behind grade level for whatever that's worth. But we've been able to do a pretty good job of moving them along the continuum.
Do you truly believe that the Board of Regents, the State Education Department, is going to be able to really move ahead and do the right thing when it comes to making these changes?
If what we're hearing is correct, if Dr. Betty Rosa, a former educator, lifelong educator in a K-12 setting, if she is voted in as the next chancellor, I think that's a beautiful light at the end of the tunnel in terms of just where we need to go, in my opinion, regarding public schools. Betty's background is whole child. Her background is community education. Her background is social and emotional support. Her background is meeting the individual needs of students. So with that sort of leadership, I'm more confident in where we're going. Because as you know, what's been going on for the last 5, 10, 15 years hasn't worked for all children.
What is your take on what is happening here in Buffalo with city schools? Obviously, you're being brought in to kind of engage the parents and speak about what's been happening here, these schools that are under receivership.
Yeah, I think what's happening in Buffalo is not unique to Buffalo. I think it's happening in many of our low-income urban centers throughout the state and throughout the country. I think we need to revisit what receivership really means, because if the governor created a task force to review the Common Core and how the Common Core was rolled out, many of the schools were placed into receivership because of their inability to do well against Common Core standards. So if the standards are fundamentally flawed and need to be revisited, I think the receivership title needs to also be revisited and reconsidered, because it's not about labeling a school. It's not about, you know, putting them on a particular list. It's about how are we, and by we, I mean local and state officials, elected officials and educators supporting each and every school so they can meet the needs of each and every child. And the support isn't there, not just in terms of the faulty Common Core approach, but also with the underfunding that's happening in schools through the campaign for fiscal equity money that schools are still waiting for, then we need to revisit public education as a whole in that regard.
What would your best advice be to parents here in Buffalo?
My best advice would be to organize, unite, have conversations around what the future of public education should look like for your children. I think many times parents are overwhelmed. They're working multiple jobs sometimes. They're overwhelmed with their level of poverty, if that is the issue, and depression and mental health kicked in. I think parents need to figure out a way to support each other with their needs and come together and talk about what public education needs to look like for their children, because parent voice is the most important voice, and together the voice is much more powerful, and the state and local officials will be much more likely to listen. And I know part of that listening statewide has been, part of the parent action statewide has been to refuse the state exams. And I think parents need to know their rights around that, and if they feel it's necessary to exercise that right to get the attention of the officials who aren't listening to them.
Principal Bowman, thank you so much for speaking with us, and we look forward to your visit to Buffalo.
No problem. Please spread the word. We want a packed house, and we want the low-income communities of color. We want everyone to come out. So please spread the word.